I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together, we're Roman Oz. Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated to
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, in this entire program is at the Yellow Belly Country Music Festival.
In St George.
In St George, Queensland.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Now, we're kicking off with
David Johnson, and he's from the DeVal Country Promotions.
Now, David, wasn't he a wealth of information? And
yes.
What a great fellow. Helped us out so much.
Yes, he did.
And he also does a bit of hosting on the stage.
Yeah.
When they're doing the changeovers and
right.
So on and so forth. He doesn't sing.
No.
Or play.
Oh.
But he loves country music.
Right.
And he's got the DeVal Country Promotions. After that, I chat with
John Hallam, and he's from Capella Events.
Now, Capella Events, they're running a country music festival there in Capella, and it's each year.
Yes.
Not sure of the dates, but he will tell us during our discussion.
Right, okay.
And then we finish up with
Ray Essery.
Now, Ray Essery is probably one of the finest bush poets in the country.
Oh, wonderful.
And he's nearly 80 years of age,
really?
I think. Oh, my goodness me.
Wow.
And what a funny fellow on stage.
Yep.
Yes. Doesn't he like to stir the ladies up?
Right.
He really likes to stir the girls up.
Oh,
well, you know, like sometimes they get on stage and they want to stay up there forever. But Ray says, hey, you're only allowed to do one thing up here and you're it's time for you to get off.
Right, okay.
So he likes to give him
that's
a
that's good. Keeps them moving.
Keeps it all moving, but he's all in tongue-in-cheek.
Right,
he's
okay.
A fabulous fella. He doesn't hate women. He just likes to stir them up.
Right, okay.
Now, we're going to finish the program with another bush poet, okay?
Yep.
And that is right at the end of the show. And his name is Gary Fogarty.
Okay.
And he was the other fellow that was at the Yellow Belly Country Music Festival, and he was doing stage work, doing his bush poetry at the Bush Poets, and also introducing the artists as well. Just
but
like
he
what
was busy.
He was very busy, just like what Ray Essery was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from these wonderful discussions with these fabulous people, we've also got a great selection of music and a poem
as requested
by the people
we
interview. So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show.
Welcome to the program, listeners. On the phones with me today from the St. George Yellow Belly Country Music Festival, David Johnston. How are you going, David?
Hey, I'm going good. Just as a reminder, I actually live in Bundaberg, but I was down there at St. George working for Alicia on the Yellow Belly Festival.
Yes. Now, that's the thing I wanted to talk to you about, because you do live in Bundaberg, but you've got DeVal Country Promotions. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, what happened, how that come about in the first place was way back in the late 80s, early 90s, Stan Costa asked us about doing the publicity and putting up posters and so forth.
Right.
So after we did that, then word of mouth, he put the word around and we were doing quite a few artists then.
Fair enough. So you've been doing this for quite a while, because the days of Costa, that would be going back to the 90s, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to, every 12 months he'd come through town and we'd do all his stuff for him.
Okay. Before we talk about all the promotions you've done, you were at Yellow Belly, which is in St. George, Queensland, where we met you. Now, you do a little bit of hosting and promoting and also on the stage work. How long have you been doing that?
Well, I started off, Gemma got me going about 15 years ago.
Right.
Just doing for him, yeah. Mm.
15 years ago. So you've been sort of working on the stage, talking on the microphones, announcing the acts and keeping the people entertained, I guess, between acts for about the last 15 years. What were you doing before that?
Well, I was a foundation member of the Bundaberg Country Music Club.
Right.
And when we kicked it off, it must have been nearly 25 years, I was the coordinator for the Bundy Easter Roundup, which was a Talent Quest Festival.
Right.
Yeah. that festival, at one stage, we were running two stages, and we used to have over 400 entries. It was the biggest country music club festival run in Australia.
Okay. So that one's no longer going, is that correct?
No, that's correct, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a bit sad, 400 entrants. I guess you would that would have been really, really busy for you, because the country music festival we just did at Yellow Belly, there were only about 20 acts or so. So a big difference.
Oh, yeah, it's been a big difference in with that. See, what's happened, though, because you're getting all the walk-up festivals now,
yep,
that's more or less taken over from the talent quest-type festivals.
Yeah, because every country music festival, and there are so many of them all over the country, they all have the walk-up artists.
That's correct, yeah. See, there was some there from Tasmania and New South Wales, and it's good to see, meet all these other ones coming through too.
Now, what about these ones you got coming up? Like when you were working with Stan Costa, for example, back in the 90s, what sort of artists? Can you remember any of the artists you used to work with back then?
Yeah, we had Brian Young. We still do some of Tommy Maxwell's. We did Lindsay Butler's, Evelyn Berry, Ian Quinn back in the early days.
Right.
There's others that, I just can't remember them all,
Okay, fair enough. And now you're working with people like the likes of Brian Letton and Lindsay Waddington and guys like that, Rodney Vincent.
That's correct, yeah. You get their agents ring us up and want to know if we'll do the shows for them,
Right.
And all the shows are actually held at the Railway Hotel in Bundaberg.
Okay. So when you say the shows, you're talking about like the artists we've just mentioned, Brian Letton and Lindsay Waddington, they're playing at that particular hotel, are they?
That's correct, yeah. They do a three-hour show there on their way through, travelling up north, so they're calling here on the way through.
So when are you expecting to have these guys in Bundy?
Well, Waddo has got Jamie Davis with him. It's on the 2nd of August.
Right.
Then in October, you've got Rodney Vincent, and Waddo's going to be with him on the 19th of October.
Right.
And Brian Letton will be on the 5th of November.
Wow, okay. And have you had these guys on your bill before at any of the other festivals? Because you're talking some pretty big names there. Lindsay Waddington, for example, I mean, he's a sensational player. Even though he plays his guitar upside down, but nonetheless, he's a great player and a great singer-songwriter. And so is Brian Letton.
Oh, yes. Yeah, now, we've known them for many, many years,
Uh-huh.
And as I say, it was through Brian Young And Stan Costa that, more or less got us going with them all,
Yes. Now, you don't sing or play yourself, do you?
No, I don't play or sing,
No.
Couldn't. I'm totally tone deaf,
But you're happy to just do what you do on the stage, introducing the artists and when you've got that changeover between one act and the other, that's when you're up on the stage.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I just fill in with a few advertising advertisements or whatever, where there's meals on and what's doing outside and sort of thing.
Another festivals, for example, that are coming up. I heard you at Yellow Belly. You were announcing there was Thargominda and Texas and other venues like that you were mentioning dates and places to go to for more country music.
That's correct. If we've got the posters there, we advertise all of them. There's Nanango in September. As I say, Thargominda should be on about now sort of thing.
Yes, it is. It is. Struggling with the weather, but nonetheless, they are going ahead with it. They've had a lot of rain out there at Tharga, but they are going ahead with it. And as you said, we got Nanango's coming up in September.
And then you got Widgie in October.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's about all I know of at this stage,
Yes. Well, Texas, in September, you've also got Boney Mountain with Norma O'Hara Murphy.
I'd forgotten about her, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And also the Texas Country Music Festival is later in September as well. Are you going to be at any of these ones, like Nanango, for example, or no?
No, I've got other things on. I used to always go down to Widgie, but I'm not sure what I'm doing this year for Widgie yet.
Uh-huh.
But no, see, I go down to some of them, but I don't take part in working for them or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm one of these fellas that can't sit down all day and just watch a show. I've got to be busy doing something.
Yeah, I noticed that when I saw you there at St. George at Yellowbelly. You're always wandering around either chatting to people or helping people or doing stuff on the stage behind the desk with the promotion and, you know, with the CDs and stuff like that. So you're definitely not the sort of fellow who can just sit there and be idle.
No, that's correct. I get bored if I'm sitting, even though I enjoy the music.
Of course.
But it's just that I can't sit down and do nothing.
Yep, I get it. I understand it, mate. Well, look, buddy, I want to thank you so much for being so helpful to us at the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival. You helped us out. You gave us a lead because we needed a different lead. They didn't have the power for us, and you helped us out with that. And I noticed you are helping other people and talking with everybody. You're doing a sensational job. And I hope you continue doing it, mate, for as long as you can. If anybody's interested in booking a festival with you or getting in touch with you, what's the best way? Is that Deval Country at Big Pond?
Yeah, you've got the card there with all the info on it.
Okay.
And you can just, you know, if you put that out, anybody wants to get in contact, we'll keep doing it as long as our health is good for it, you know.
Good on you. Good on you, my friend. I'm going to wind this up now, Dave, and I'm going to play a song. I know you really loved Brian Brown, Brownie's music, and also Keith Jamison. Now, I'm going to play one by either one of these fellas. Which one would you like me to play, either Keith or Brownie?
Put Keith on.
Put Keith on? Well, I've got his album sitting right here in front of me at the moment. He's got an album called A Picture of Australia.
That's right, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Have you got a favourite track on that, or should we just pick one together?
Oh, no, just pick one. But,
well, how about we play the title track from the album, and that's called A Picture of Australia?
Yep, that's okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to put that on right now. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, Dave, and I hope to see you around the country music scene sometime very shortly.
Yeah, thanks for interviewing me, and good luck to all the artists, and thanks to the listeners for listening to me.
Thank you so much. We're going to be back with more of Raymond Oz straight after Keith Jamison's A Picture of Australia. Thank you so much, David.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
Come with me, and I'll paint you a picture of Australia. With a rustic frame of golden sand, a backdrop of a harsh inland out there. There'll be no canvas when I paint a picture of her awesome beauty. With words I know you'll understand of the beauty of this big old land out there. In the foreground will be the mothers and the fathers of the dream time, with our pioneers who worked the land, fought and died so we could stand out there. Paint her rolling plains and rugged mountains, with cascading crystal waterfalls, a forest where the bellbirds call out there. On the horizon you'll see her shimmering haze and her fiery sunsets. In the shadow of those moonlit nights, by the flickering glow of min-min lights out there. Mm-hmm. Chester people who are rich in culture from so many countries. But as Australians we join hands with those folk from other lands out there. Come with me, and I'll paint you a picture of Australia. With a rustic frame of gold and sand, a backdrop of a harsh inland out there. There'll be no canvas when I paint a picture of her awesome beauty. With the words I know you'll understand of the beauty of this big old land out there. With the words I know you'll understand of the beauty of this big old land out there.
Welcome back to the program, listeners. Phil C here, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au and now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. I am at the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival in St George, Queensland, with a very special guest with us this afternoon, listeners, John Hallam. How you going, John?
Hey, great, Phil. Yeah, good morning to everyone. It's fantastic to be here. Catch up and have this opportunity to have a chat and be here at the Yellowbelly Festival in St George is really something special.
So we were all a little bit concerned that the Yellowbelly Festival may have actually folded as a result of the loss of the man responsible for it, I suppose, and also you had a lot to do with it too, didn't you? Mr. Keith Jamieson.
Yes, mate, Jammo and I have been very good friends. We go right back to when he was a driller up in the Capella, central Queensland area, Dysart and Blackwater and in around that area. And his very first release, the Capella Rodeo song. So we go back a long way and we've always been in touch and good friends and support from one another. And it's always a pleasure to come down here. It's sad that Jammo's passed on, but a pleasure to be here and support Alicia and Caitlin. They're doing an amazing job. And they've got some fantastic helpers too that have to be congratulated.
Absolutely. Got a lot of volunteers here. She's got a lot of support and definitely a lot of people coming out here, a lot of grey nomads travelling out here to this event. So happy to find that it's going to continue even after the loss of poor old Jammo.
Absolutely, and I think Jammo is an inspiration. He will live on, in my heart anyway, as an inspiration to keep coming to St George just to be part of the Jammo show. And sadly, we don't get to the Bouldercombe, which is his real passion, because it's hot on the heels of the Capella Festival and we're pretty exhausted getting packed up and sorted out after Capella because it starts the very next day. But I do love to get over to Bouldercombe too and support there. So it's a great country music, honestly, Phil, is like a huge family.
It is.
It's not just another festival to go to. It's a whole bunch of people that love catching up.
It is.
And sometimes it's only once a year, you know.
Yes. But
it's fantastic.
It's incredible because I've been to so many country music festivals now and I'm seeing the same faces and I'm making so many friends and it's like, oh, you're here, you're at this one. And I'm amazed to see how many people love, I guess, the bush balladeering. And not only that, they come here and they like to get up and show their talents, the walk-up artists, and, of course, the bush poetry.
Absolutely. Look, and you, that is, got it in a nutshell, you've nailed it. But it's the camaraderie, and you've just said the amount of people that you run into that recognise you. They may not even remember your name.
Yes.
But they recognise, oh, you're back again. Great to hear. And look, even some of the artists, they're at every show.
Yes.
But they're always good, and so they've got a different song, and it's always nice to catch up. It's all about country. It's all about the Aussie spirit and trying to keep the Aussie spirit alive and the country feeling and the camaraderie, which is sadly we are slowly losing.
Yes, yes. I'm a bit worried about the country music scene because it seems to have morphed into a couple of different genres, doesn't it? We've got country rock, we've got country pop, and I would hate to think that the true Aussie country music, the bush balladeering, would become a dying thing.
Absolutely. Look, there's so many greats, the Kelly Dixons and the Stan Costas and those Gordon Parsons and all those old-timers, Trevor Day. They would just be horrified because they were the true, but they lived what they wrote and
yes,
they sung
course.
From their heart yes. and about true Australia.
Yes.
Kids of today, for whatever reason, they often do not even get the opportunity or it's illegal to do some of the things that they sing about because it was normal those days.
Yes.
But now you're not. So it's very hard and it's very difficult. And you're right, we're turning into computerised.
Yes.
And it's just not good.
It's not good. It's not good, I don't think, at all. But apart from the fabulous country singers, we also had two of Australia's finest poets out here, didn't we?
Look, absolutely. Ray Esery and Gary Fogarty, well, they just don't come any better.
No, definitely not.
They really don't. They're real larrikins. And in particular, Gary Fogarty and Cindy have been friends of mine for many, many years. They come to Capella for various reasons over the years. And since we've been able to get the Capella Music Festival underway, we're fortunate to have Gary come out and MC for us and run the Bush Poets Breakfast for Mother's Day every year. So we're very lucky to have Gary come along. And just as a quick side note, I often say to Gary, I put the finishing touches on him because way back, and I just forget what year it was, many years ago, Gary was getting organised to go to America to compete.
Right.
In an international poetry competition. And so he came to Capella and we done a concert in the backyard of the servo.
Yes.
Because I've got a garden area in the backyard and we had a log fire and I don't know how many people were there. But anyhow, Gary done his poetry. We had a wonderful time and he went off to America and I believe from memory he came third in his division in the world.
Wow.
So very, very pleased to have Gary Fogarty, just an incredible bloke. And then he runs the Milmer and Camp Oven Camp Out as well.
So, okay. Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about you. You've got the Ampol. You're the Ampol man, aren't you, in Capella? Because you just mentioned you got a service station there. You got the. Tell us all about that business before we talk about your music festival.
Righto. Now, Phil, back in 1977... I've lived in the Central Highlands area most of my life.
Right.
But in 77, I moved to Capella for 3 months' work on the Peak Down Shire Council. And anyway, the work petered out a bit, and what was there was a drum depot. And I thought, I can make this into something. Being off the land, my parents were grain growers, and they had sheep and cattle. And so I like having a go at something. So I bought the service station. And I took it over in 1985.
Right.
I registered the name Ampol Capella because I'm a very patriotic Australian.
Yes.
And I stuck with that and it just grew. It wasn't much at the time. It was just basically a donga and a drum depot. And by that I mean those days were 44-gallon drums and the farmers would come in and get a drum of diesel, a drum of kerosene or a drum of oil or whatever. And so that was how it all started, and that petered out quite quickly, and that was the end of the drum era, but then bulk fuel came in and took over, and bulk oil and all that type of thing. And it just grew along from there. And when Ampol went to Caltex for a while, I objected to that as, no, I'm Australian, I'm the Ampol man of Capella and of Central Queensland, if you like, because everyone else went to Caltex. I was the only one in the region that stayed Ampol.
Good on you. Now, how's that business grown, though? Because it's not just a petrol station, is it, really? No.
Well, absolutely. Look, and it all comes down to a passion, feeling for the community and giving back to the community, and then the community supports you. So next thing I'm saying, oh, people are asking for this. I can do that. I can do this. And it's grown. And for 22 years, I had an auto electrician work there.
Right.
And it was greatly supported, but with modern vehicles, with computerisation and old age, my electrician retired. And I said, well, it was getting very, very hard. So I changed the workshop into a coffee shop,
right,
and a lounge, and because we didn't really have a dedicated coffee shop in Cabela. We had a lovely cafe there that does meals and everything, but not a dedicated coffee shop. So that grew from just people saying, "Oh, it'd be nice to have. We've got to drive 50 kilometres to Emerald for a coffee shop. It'd be nice to have something quiet and sort of secluded." So I was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked very, very well. And I was able to employ another staff member. I have some people come out and do barista training. So that's just another little part. And then sadly, as time grew on, wages got difficult, council rates got higher, insurances got higher, all sorts of things. We had two grocery stores. Well, they both closed down,
mm-hmm.
which meant there was nowhere in Cabela where you could buy a tin of coffee or a jar of jam or a tin of beetroot or anything like that. So I had a little room in the back corner, and I thought, I'll turn that into a mini grocery store.
Right.
And with the bare essentials, and the town are ever so grateful that if they run out of tea, they can slip down and get a box of tea bags or something. And the community have supported greatly in that. So it's helped me grow it along. And then, of course, the butcher closed down.
Right.
And so I was able to put a deep freeze in, and the butcher in Emerald packages up little and barcodes up meat, so we can do that. So I've become diverse. I've mm-hmm. diversified into all sorts of things. And then we do express takeaway chicken, similar to the Kentucky organisation. We've sort of done that sort of thing. It's grown, and it's only grown by the support of the community and the travelling public. We're right on the highway, and people get to know to come and call in. Not only that, we have the barbecue gas bottles for their caravans, and then, of course, with demand, those that don't want to have the caravan, we built some motel rooms, and I have a bunch of motel rooms there for the traveller that wants a bit of comfort.
Yes. And the thing is, they've got to pass you, don't they? If they're going to Charters Towers or Atherton or anything, Atherton Tablelands, anything, they've got to get... You're on the Gregory Highway. They've got to go straight past you, don't they?
We're right on the Gregory Highway. And lots of people, look, coming from the south, they come up through Springshore and Emerald and Cabela and on to Clermont, and it's at Clermont they can turn off and go into Mackay.
Yes.
To the beaches and everything in Mackay, or they go on to Charters Towers where they turn off and go into Townsville. Or they go further on up into the Atherton Tablelands and around into Cairns.
Okay.
So we're very unique, and we're 50 kilometres or 52 kilometres away from Emerald. And look, the travellers and the campers, we have a wonderful caravan park in Cabela. Basically, even though we haven't got flash shopping centres, we've got everything you need. You will not starve in Cabela.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about this fabulous music festival that you kicked off about 5 years ago, the Cabela Country Music Festival.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, there you go. This is just by one of those things. Chad Morgan and his mate was up there touring around and staying in the motel. And I said, what goes on in this? You know what Chad's like?
Yes.
He likes to nose about, and he loves his fishing. We actually took him up to Teresa Dam fishing and that sort of thing. And I took him around, and we have an amazing covered arena there. It's just absolutely amazing setup, and anyone who's been there could never deny it's one of the best. People say it's better than Gympie and Tamworth because it's all undercover. So anyway, we're just driving around, and we got to there, and he said, "Goodness me, what goes on here?" I said, "Oh, they ride a few horses around." And he said, "Well, what a place for a music festival, because there's a seating arrangement that'll fit a couple of thousand people in the grandstand alone without any other seating at all.
Right.
So it's an amazing building, 90-something metres long and 45 metres wide. So it's all undercover, amazing building. So we got just, and he just, we drove around, he kept coming back. He said, "That's amazing." He said, "We should do something." Chad said to me, never ever in his career has he had a Chad Morgan festival. He's always performed on someone else's gig.
Right.
And I said, "Well, mate, why don't we have a Chad Morgan festival?" He said, "You get this show, these buildings and everything, I'll get the artists."
Okay.
And that was about 6 years or more ago, and it took us a little while to get ourselves sorted and for me to get my head around all that, because I'm not really I don't sing or anything, or I just love music, and I love the camaraderie. So, Chad, I said, "Righto." But anyhow, it took us a little while, but we kicked it off, and this year was our fifth year.
Okay.
Sadly, we had COVID in the middle of that, so that's mucked us around. But it's slowly growing, and people are getting to know where we are, and it works wonderfully up there.
So when's it on? For the benefit of the listeners, when is it each year?
Right, it's in May every year, and it's the Mother's Day weekend. So this next year, in 2025, it's from the 6th to the 11th of May. Sunday being the Mother's Day weekend, and the special Bush Poets Breakfast, camp oven cooking, Ranger Nick comes down and cooks special scones and stuff for Mum for Mother's Day. So that's how it's sort of grown along, getting different people to turn up and different art and trying to bring a bit of variety into it.
Okay, so who did you have this year?
Okay, well, apart from Gary and Nick doing the breakfast cooking, we had Dave Hawkins up from Tasmania, and he became very popular. He just gave it a little bit of upbeat. My favourite, great mates of ours, is the Hillbilly Goats, Bryce and Marnie. They're just larrikins and good personal friends, and they're a totally different show.
Right.
They're an act in their own right.
Oh, absolutely.
And the people love them.
Yes.
And Chad was there, of course, the headline act. Pixie Jenkins, he's there harassing everybody right the way through. Brilliant musician, great performer, but just a larrikin and loves stirring everyone up. Then we had Donella Waters, of course, and she does a Dolly Parton show. And honestly, you'd swear Dolly Parton was in the audience. You really would. She's so darn good. So that was great. And then Kylie Hogan. She's just another slant on comedy and a great actor, good singer, great entertainer, and a lot of fun, loves jokes. And certainly other great personal friends of mine and the greatest balladeers. And look, work in the industry like people you'll never know was Diane Lindsay and Peter Simpson.
Yes.
They come and stay with me, and I stay at their place. And they just work endlessly at Tamworth, wherever you go. They're here today at the Yellow Belly Festival, and they're in their boots and all helping everyone, because they are more true blue than anyone I know.
Absolutely, you're not wrong from that. And yes, when you speak about country music in Australia, you'd have to mention the likes of Diane Lindsay and Peter Simpson.
Yeah.
You couldn't go past those two at all.
Absolutely. And look, I had the pleasure of knowing her parents, and Slim and Joy and Heather, and stayed in my motel when they perform at the... We have a big cultural centre as well in Capella, and artists likes of that. I've had the pleasure of knowing her parents, and that makes her rather special to me. So.
Fantastic. So next year, anything special planned for next year? Can you mention any of the artists? You got anybody locked in as yet or not?
Not really, no. It's early days. We're meeting at the end of July. The club, we're an incorporated Capella Country Music Club. We're having our meeting, and at this point in time, nothing is in concrete. It's early days, of course.
Of course.
But we try and get some indication out there as early as possible, because people need to make their plans.
Of course.
And they're coming up from Victoria and South Australia and Tasmania and all over the place. And lots of caravan clubs do their annual tour or their little trips that they do, and they think of a place to go. And we're working on a few of those things, but, it's early days.
Early days. And So what's the best place for people to find out? Because you've got this incredible website, which people may not be aware of. So what's your website address?
Okay, people can... we do lots of things. There's lots of ways. Those that are in the Grey Nomads organisation, they can look up the Grey Nomads magazine. That goes out to about 24,000 people. We've got our advertisement in that. And Cindy from the Grey Nomads always gives us a little bit of a promotional thing because we've advertised with them. So they can look in the Grey Nomads for a start off, if they wish, and they'll get a website there. They can go to www.capellaevents.com.au and you will see the website there. All the information, all the previous artists and what has been going on. They can, if someone can write it down, if we've got a pen and paper handy, admin@capellaevents.com.au. That's our email address.
Right.
Shoot us an email if they wish, and they can... I will get back to them, or someone from the club will get back to them. They can join our mail-out list. We've got 1,700 people on our database that get our newsletter.
Right.
So if they wanted to do, they'd need to send me or send it to that email address, which they can find on the website too. And they will get the email sent once a month only. But all the information comes on that, and where to contact, and how to book tickets to come to the festival, and all about the festival, and all about facilities at the festival, which is great. Well, we've got over 200 powered sites there. There's water at every one. There's toilets and showers, and the whole event is undercover.
Sounds absolutely fantastic. I've got to try and get to it next year for sure.
Mate, you'd be most welcome. Everyone that comes to Capella is always made welcome. And even at the caravan park, they've got a little set up there, and they're right behind it as well, because they can see the benefit to the entire community and the travelling people that's got somewhere great to pull up. Year in, year out, I'm talking about.
Yes.
That everyone is made welcome in Capella.
Fantastic. So what are the dates again for next year, John?
Dates again, May the 6th, which is a Tuesday, and it runs right through, walk-ups through, right through till the Friday. The finale for the walk-ups is Friday night, and then the guest artists are Saturday and Sunday. So Tuesday the 6th of May to... Sunday the 11th of May 2025.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, folks. That is John Hallam. He is the Ampol man, so make sure you check out his fuel station if you want coffee or takeout food, or if you just feel like you need a better stay than your caravan, he's got motel rooms there. And also check out the www.capellaevents.com.au for the Capella Country Music Festival 2025. John, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today, my friend.
Great, mate. Phil, it's been a pleasure catching up. And look, anyone coming through, even if you don't want fuel or a coffee, pull up for a yarn, stretch your legs. There's parking across the road. There's plenty of room there. If you're going through, and just pull up and say good day. That's what it's all about.
Fantastic. John, we're going to wrap this up now, mate. Before we do, I'm going to play your song. It's got to be Aussie. Now, you mentioned before the Seekers. You really like the Seekers, you said. But you like all Australian music, of course. But in particular, you said Judith Durham and the Seekers. They sing some fantastic songs. And you actually selected a number all about the trains.
Yeah, mate, look... going back as a kid, they were our favourite group, and as Phil just said, I could go on all day naming famous and favourite artists and the like, but I'm sure every young bloke was totally in love with Judith Durham, and I would suggest my favourite song from them would be The Morning Town Ride.
Thank you so much, John, for taking the time to chat with us.
All the very best, and cheers to all your listeners.
There you go, folks. That is John Hallam, the Ampol man. Make sure you check him out, okay? www.capellaevents.com.au. And we'll be back with more of Raymond Oz straight after the Seekers Morning Town Ride.
Train whistle blowing makes a sleepy noise. Underneath their blankets go all the girls and boys.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. Phil C here. This is Roman Oz, and I am at the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival here in St. George, chatting to one of Australia's finest bush poets, Mr. Ray Essery. How are you going, Ray?
Going pretty good, Phil. Mate. Up here from the Northern Rivers in New South Wales, and I'm retired to Brunswick Heads these days, but I come up here. I've been coming up here for 10 years or more now to this festival. It's St. George, mate. Wonderful little town. Yep. Wonderful little town.
Yep. Yeah. And a fabulous festival. And we were all a little bit concerned at one stage when poor old Jamo passed away. We thought this festival might fold, but they're going to keep it going.
Yeah, one of the great men, mate, I've known over the years. When I retired from dairy farm, and I'd done that for nearly 20 years after I got out of the Navy. I'd done the 60s in the Navy, Phil.
Yes.
And went back dairy farming when I come home. So, but then I started writing verse about 50 years ago, I suppose, now.
Okay.
And it's been like a little ring went up to a big circle, bigger and bigger in circle.
So who inspired you to get into it? Was it your father who used to write poetry?
Or? No, because I'm dyslexic and I left friggin' school at, I don't know whether I should have said that.
That's all right.
But I left school at 14 and a half, mate, and
yes.
Went making money. That's all I wanted to do
until
I got in the Navy. But I raced trotters. I always had a hobby. It was my hobby, racing a trotter, and I was racing at Lismore's show, and I saw an old cane cutter recite this poem one night beside the campfire, and I was just amazed. I never heard bush verse even.
So how old would you have been back then when you first heard that?
35, 40.
Yeah.
And then I went home, sat on my tractor while I was putting in ryegrass or slashing or whatever, and I started putting this stuff together. And it was by chance once, and we were away. I was playing a bit of golf, no good at all, but and I was at a show, and I recited the Mullumbimby Bloke, which is a poem I wrote on the tractor.
Okay.
And the bloke said, who wrote that, Ray? I said, I did. And from then on, it just started. They had me up wherever we went or done or festivals or whatever. And then I got mixed up with the Naked Poets, and I travelled with them for 13 years.
Okay.
And one minute I'm milking cows, mate, and next minute I'm on the big stages of Australia, Twin Towns and Gympie Muster. And I'm still going today.
And you're still going today, and you're 82 years of age.
I'll be 82 only in 4 weeks' time.
Wow. Mate. So 40 years performing.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you think it'd go this big?
No.
No?
No. I went to Tamworth in 93. Somebody said there's a poet competition down there. So I went down and I had a mate with me, and he was a banana grower. I said, Ronnie, you better throw in a box of bananas to pay our way when we get there. So we ended up at Tamworth, and I went on this country music. It was a bush poetry show. Ended up a nervous wreck. just a nervous.
Too much stress or too much.
Oh, mate, I never done this before, and I stand in front of people and recite it. I couldn't even make a speech in those days. Lack confidence to buggery. But then, a bloke come up to me and said, "Ray, what you doing? It's pretty good. Pretty good, you know." He said, "You're all right." Well, the next year I went back and won a gold medal. I won a gold medal for reciting. So, and then I was away.
Then you were away and running.
And now I can. One of the biggest crowds I performed in front of indoor crowds was when Chad Morgan had his final show there a month ago at Twin Towns. Yeah, well, I was only poet on the bill.
Oh, right. So okay.
I thought, now what will I do? So I wrote a poem about the old man cutting cane. He cut cane before he went away to the Second World War.
Yeah.
And when he come home, he went back down to Richmond cutting cane while Mum and us kids looked after the little dairy farm. Because they can make three times the basic wage.
Yep.
So I wrote a yarn called Racing. It was cane cutters racing in those days, which they used to if they got behind with tonnage.
Yes.
And that's the thing I done on the Chad Morgan show. And went over pretty good, mate. Went over pretty good.
Would you like to recite that for us in just take a few minutes?
It'll take 7 minutes.
Well, we've got 7 minutes, but if you wouldn't mind... We can do that.
Right.
But let's not do it now. What I want to ask you about is your personality, because on stage, you're quite the comedian, aren't you, really? I mean, you get the crowd laughing and you're always kind of paying out on the ladies, but it's all done tongue-in-cheek. It's all fun. But here and now, you're a bit laid back and obviously more serious. And what's the real Ray Essery? Are you a bit of a clown all the time? Or?
Well, the old dairy farmers, you know, I only act like my father.
Yeah.
You know, on stage, it reminds me of Dad standing there. And because my mother, Norma Essery, was a great singer, and she was probably the best on the Northern Rivers. And she used to compare shows and that when they played bowls, and. She was a war bride, and she never ever had the chance to go anywhere in life with the music songs, but she could have stood up on any stage in Australia. She's so good.
Yep.
She had seven of us kids, and not one of us can sing a note.
Okay.
But somebody said to me once, "Raymond, who taught you your stage work?" I said, "I wasn't taught.
Just born into you."
It was Mum.
Yeah.
And that's me.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
But when you're off the stage, that's not who you are. You're Ray off the stage, or when you're on the stage, because you're two like different personas. You jump on the stage, you take on a completely different persona.
Well, I love to do my serious work, and I've probably. But see, when you're in front of a crowd, you've got to make them laugh, mate. They're like people. Hear serious work all day, and that's fine. And I do some of that serious work of mine, but it's the comedy stuff that they like. So
absolutely, you had me laughing. Had me laughing, especially the one you did about the cow, the milking inspector. Yeah, that was just wow.
Well, it's a funny
true story.
But the thing is. If you can see what you're reciting, and as I always tell poets, if they recite a poem, they must see what they're reciting. And if you can see what you're reciting, then you can portray it to the crowd with that picture in your mind. I've had 8 songs recorded now of my work.
Yes.
And
by artists like Jeff Brown, for example.
Jeff Brown, Clearly Adams, John O'Day, and Terry Bennett's from West Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, he's recorded, and I've just had a song recorded that I wrote about Brunswick Heads, and it's just an amazing thing what they can do with a poem
and turn it into a song.
And turn it into a song.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Very gratifying.
I just hope that the bush balladeering continues to stay as it is, because bush balladeering is really poetry to music, isn't it?
Australiana, that's the real Australia, mate.
Yes, absolutely.
We went on to a ship's cruise here. I've been on two ship's cruises now performing, that bang bang music doesn't go over with the older people, mate.
No.
And the country music of today, there's some great country music artists out there. Okay. But when they get into the country rock scene, you know, that's not us.
And it is changing a lot for the younger ones, I suppose, to keep the younger ones interested. So it's now country rock and country pop. And
that's where the money is.
Yeah.
And there was a young girl on stage here yesterday, Alicia Smith. Were you here?
Oh, yeah, I saw Alicia and I saw her daughter, Kate.
And what were the first two songs she sang?
I can't remember now because I was too busy.
Hank Williams. There she was on stage, and it just gives me a lot of... Mate, I'm so... Because Hank Williams is, you know, he's a legend in his own rights.
Absolutely.
And I was reared with Hank Williams, and, he can make me cry. I'm a very emotional bugger.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And Hank Williams and Jimmy Rogers, and see all those old country music stars out coming out of America even now, they all go back to Jimmy Rogers and Hank Williams.
Okay. Well, we're going to wind this up now. Would you rather do that poem, or do you want me to get one of those poems that's been put to music?
Oh, I can recite it now for you if you want.
All right. So what's the name of the poem?
It's a poem that I wrote about the old man.
Yes.
Cutting cane down on the Richmond River, because when they got behind with the tonnage, the ganger who was in charge of them would make them race. In other words, the best cane cutter had to get out the front and go as fast as he could.
Yes.
It was brutal work, brutal.
Yep.
And you can imagine from Grafton to the top of Australia, there was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of a ton of cane had to be cut every year, and it was cut by hand.
Yes.
But cut hard by work. It was the cane cutters and the shearers that got this country going after the Second World War and First World War. As the rain clouds cleared from the northern rivers, a cane ganger says to his men, "This week, boys, we're behind with the tonnage, and that's something I intend to stem. For we are the top gang on the rivers, and with that goes a lot of pride and face. So sharpen up your cane knives, me boys, for today we intend to race." And as the eight young cane cutters sat around the breakfast table, drinking their last pot of brew, each one knew that today's work was going to be brutal. Though brutal work was the only work those young cane cutters ever knew. For they were the sons of the pioneers, the men from the earlier days who'd built the roads and cleared the land with their bare hands, horses and drays. Now the ganger's name was Otterbridge, who was a cunning, wiry little man, who said, "Esri, you cut to the front of the line, for you're the best cane cutter in this gang." And then Otterbridge cut at the rear of the field, just to keep an eye on the race, for he knew his men would be under a lot of pressure when Esri was setting the pace. And the pinder cane stood tall and black, ashen from the fire the day before, which reached every part of those young cutters' bodies, even into the eyes and ears and skin's pore. And acre by acre as that cane fell, those young cutters raced up and down the rows with aching backs and screaming muscles, as only God knows. Yet no man stopped or surrendered an inch, with sweat pouring from body and face. No laughter was heard, but the swearing was ripe at Esri, the cutter that was setting the pace. And ton after ton as that cane built up, it then had to be loaded on the skips by back, and with sweat and blood on each man's shoulders, Otterbridge could be heard calling, "Attack, attack, attack." And at the pub down Wardell Way, where the men drink only as men do, And there was no other talk in the bar other than cutting cane. For really, there was no other talk those old cane cutters ever knew. But then it was heard a top gang was in full flight, and somebody cried out Otterbridge's name. Well, all the drinkers left their beers on the bar that day and raced to Sneasby's Lane. For to see a top gang in full flight was a sight seldom seen. And those old cutters, they wanted to see that sight just one more time. And then it was back to the Wardell pub to drink on and skite and dream. And as the sun set over the rivers, now neath a cloudless sky, eight young cane cutters put out their knives with bodies that were about to die. And Otterbridge walked amongst his men and shook each man by the hand and then said, "Well done, me boys. We're still the best cane cutters in this land." And at the pub down Wardell Way, where the ghosts of those old cutters will always live on, now they'll talk about the time they saw Otterbridge's gang race, when each man cut well over 10 ton. And as to who the best cane cutter there ever was on the rivers, well, that debate will always take place. But you can be sure Otterbridge and Esfri's name will be up the top of the list, for they were the men that always cut in the top gangs, and they always set the pace.
Fabulous, Ray. Thank you so much.
And I can cry doing that.
Yes, you can. I can see the emotion welling up in your eyes, my friend. Thank you so much, Ray, for taking the time to chat with us today.
Good man.
Good on you.
See you along the road, Phil.
You definitely will. There
you
go.
You're lucky you weren't in the Navy, mate. I'd straighten that bloody beard out of it. Tell you to get a haircut and get the bloody beard cut. Righto.
And there's the comedy, folks. Ray Esser, he's one of Australia's finest bush poets. And I'm going to finish up now with another one of Australia's finest bush poets, okay? It goes by the name of Gary Fogarty. Now, he was at the Yellowbelly Country Music Festival at St George and doing a little bit of hosting and also some of his own poetry there at the festival along with Ray Essery. Now, I've selected a poem to wind the program up. It's from the Bigger, Sharper Spurs album. And the poem I've selected, it's only a short one. It is called Threading a Needle.
She asked if I could help her, and she flashed that lovely smile. I said that I would love to, but it had been a while. But like riding on a bicycle, one does not forget. She told me it was something she'd never managed yet. My nervous hands were trembling as I readied for the thrust. She mentioned someone told her that stiffness was a must. And be careful, do not bend it, or you'll make it limp again. Don't try for fancy movements, just keep it nice and plain. I did not think it moist enough, so of course I used my lips. A sigh voiced her approval of my dexterous fingertips. I was glad no one was watching, that could put me off my game, as her kind words of encouragement help me with my aim. Now, length was not a problem, because I had a bit to spare. But the smallness of the target was perhaps a bit unfair. Could she hold it still a while and give a man a go? If I didn't get it shortly, I'd probably need a blow. Well, it took me half an hour, but success was mine at last. She was silent for a moment till the excitement had all passed. Then she thanked me for my trouble, said would I think her rotten if she asked another man next time to help her thread the cotton.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.